Boy, that's a great reminder for all of us. If we're kind of getting past last year, more people are opening up and wanting to get out, and you have an opportunity to invite people. Next Sunday is going to be fun outside, and then the next Sunday is for Easter. It's not just about fun, it's because people really do need to know the Lord in these times. As I was thinking about, we're kind of taking a three-week break from the story. We've been going through the story every week, and it's been wonderful, but we're going to take 3 weeks and kind of talk about Easter. This week, I was thinking about the cross. And so I was doing a little research on the cross. It really didn't start with the Romans. It was hundreds of years before that. There was one point where 2,000 people were crucified at one time. And I read about the cross and how humiliating it was to be crucified. Some people who were crucified, they would have people walk up and slap them, hit them. Others who were crucified, they would let them hang there until the birds ate their flesh. And I started to think about crucifixion, and I'm like, why such an instrument of brutal execution? Why is that the symbol? I mean, like the calling card of our faith. Have you ever wondered? I thought about, okay, if this was just 700 years later, like, would we wear little signs that have a guillotine on them? Or would we have like a hangman's gallows? You know, I mean, just 700 years later, that was the mode of execution. I thought, why this cross? I mean, like, if I had a business card, I would never put like a firing squad on the business card. Hi, you know, come be part of our church. And I was thinking about the cross, and I thought, wow, God, why is this our symbol? I felt like God said, no problem, let's take a walk to Calvary. The cross, this symbol, a rugged cross. I'm proud to say that's where my son was crucified. It's the place where you look deep and hard enough and you're going to see the extent of my love. Look at that cross and stare at it hard, because that's the place where sin was overcome. You stare at that cross long enough and you're going to find refreshment for a parched craving. You're going to find refreshment. You're going to find a place of rest. And I started to think about God's calling card and how much it means. And it reminded me of several things as we approach the Easter season. And one of them is this. The width of that cross is absolutely wide enough for you and for me. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, and I could spend probably months just talking about, for God, who is God? How big is God? Can you even begin to fathom how big God is? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, why would he do that? So that everyone who believes in him does not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God is so wide, it includes the entire world. It doesn't say, for God so loved the rich, for God so loved the strong, for God so loved the sober, for God so loved the smart, for God so loved those in North America. God says, for God so loved the world. If you're in the world and you haven't moved over to the meta world yet, there's a God who absolutely loves you. And you've studied other religions, maybe, and you understand the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. Is Christianity is God said, I'll do it first to bring you in. And other religions say you have to do this if you plan to get in or to get ahead. It's just the way it is. Thought about God's calling card. It's wide enough to include us. And sometimes we ignore that, right? And we're out of God's will, but we're never out of God's reach. The price of the cross absolutely includes you. I think about how wide that is, and then I think about the cross is long enough to give you the grace that you need. The scripture says this, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." This is so basic, but it's so important. One person wrote it this way, "Stretching in front of the cross is a shadow, a long shadow, not just across the geography of Jerusalem, but across the ages of human history, a shadow long enough to shield us from the justifiable punishment that we deserve because of our sins." Okay, think about it this way. About a week ago, there were fires in Boulder, Colorado. What was the job of the firemen? Just one job, put the fire out. A result of putting the fire out, what saves homes, saves lives. So a fireman puts a fire out. What has been the reaction of a Ukraine soldier for about the last 40 days being invaded by Russia? They have tried to combat that. They have said, this is wrong. We are going to stand up against this. What does a dad do when he sees a spider in the crib of their child? Of course, they scream for the mom to come and kill the spider. No, the object is to get rid of it, right? Firemen put out fires. Soldiers combat that is wrong. A dad or a mom who cares wants to put aside the things that could harm their kids. Now, what about a holy God? What is the nature of complete holiness? What happens when you have an absolutely holy God and then there's sin? There has to be judgment. God has to punish sin because God's holy. How can God sit or stand or be in the presence of sin? But so this is the dilemma. God has to punish sin, but God absolutely loves sinners. So what does he do? Compromise? God wanted us to be in relationship with him from the very beginning. He wants to be in relationship with you now. Even if this week you've turned your back on him, even if this week something's happened and you've doubted him, God wants to be in relationship with you. But how does God love us and punish sin at the same time? And there again, I look at the old rugged cross. That's how it happens. This instrument of humiliation, of a painful asphyxiation. I read a medical journal on what it looked like to be crucified and how it would affect somebody's body. I was like, oh gosh, this is so brutal. Look at that cross, stare at that cross, understand that cross, because God put our sin on his son that we might come to know him. And I don't know all of you very well, but I know this about you. Every one of you has committed enough sin this week that you would be ousted from heaven. You're like, what are you talking about? It's not about your badness. It's about how holy holiness is. I'm not saying you did awful, awful things. But when you compare your goodness to the holiness of heaven, none of us stands a chance. Because God is absolutely holy, and we are absolutely a people who sin. So God takes all of those sins and he puts them on Jesus and judges him in our place. The result of that, it satisfies his holiness and demonstrates his love. Paul says it this way, and Paul was quite a sinner. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with Christ, through Christ. Imagine that day hiding in the shadow of the cross. And when you begin to see the punishment of mankind being put on Christ, imagine when you are in the shadow of that cross and you hear these words, Jesus, his entire life that we knew it, always addressed him as my Father, oh my God, always in a loving, connected way. And then in the shadow, you hear this, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not the cry of a saint. It's the cry of the Son of God as he feels the impact of all of your sin and all of my sin and all of the sins before and all of the sins to come, all wrapped up, and he has to digest those sins. He received the full blow of God's wrath. I mean, remember that. As we approach Easter, look at that cross, that terrible symbol of pain and humiliation, and realize that God's cross is it's big enough to hold you. It's long enough that his grace will overcome your sin. It's so powerful. I mean, the torture, the death, all of that, because it means so much more than just a symbol. God says, take a walk with me to Calvary. Watch my son on that cross. All of this because you are so valuable. We went to a banquet last night, and it was pretty fancy. And Sharon would hate that I'm saying this, so I'm not even going to look at her. She received a prestigious award for her service in wealth management at Arvest Bank. And there was a part of me that was a little bit insecure, not because of what Sharon did. I'm so proud of her, and it doesn't surprise me. It's the fourth time she's won this, and you actually can be a strong believer and have a great work ethic, and people will see Christ in you at work. That's how it works with Sharon every day. But as we were getting ready to go in, some's like, I don't know, you know, these people are looking like they're important. And God reminded me, and this is not a pride thing, Jim, you have the most important job in the entire world. You're in the people business, and it matters for all eternity. So how great these people are and what they do is nothing compared to somebody who loves God and helps other people grow in God. And that's not just about a pastor, that's about you. That's why Sharon wins this. What's your secret to that? I love people. Well, how do you do that? Christ is in her. Do you understand that you can't just look at this cross and go, okay, I'm good. You've got to look at this cross and realize the depth of it and what it means, and that you have a place in helping somebody else overcome. It is a big, big deal. I mean, imagine if you could tell somebody, and you know somebody, you walk with somebody, you have a relationship with somebody who's desperately struggling. Imagine if you could tell them this. Now there's no condemnation. Because you belong to Jesus Christ, for the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Jesus Christ from the power of sin that leads to death. Imagine if you could help somebody overcome because of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we're not condemned. We can safely stand in the shadow of the cross. How long is God's love? I'd say it's long enough to provide the grace you need. God has done everything necessary to give us water for our parched souls. And I'd say this, the cross is also high enough that when you're down, it can lift you up. When you're down, you can receive power from God, not just to take another breath, but to make another day, not just to make another day, but actually to make a life that matters, actually to make a life that counts. And sometimes we get so wrapped up on the things of this earth, we forget that this is not our home, that there is a home so much better than this. And your job is part of the greatest enterprise on planet Earth. Your job is to know Christ in such a way that people see that Christ in you and that you help others to know Christ as well. Boy, what a job. I was reading about the second daughter of Queen Victoria this week. Her name was Princess Alice, and there's actually a statue for her. And she had a tragic life. But part of her life, she had one of her kids, it's a son, and he was 4 years old. And during that time, he was infected with this horrible infection known as black diphtheria. And it's a fatal thing, and it was tragic. And because it was so highly contagious, she was told, do not get too close to your son. It's one thing if we lose the son. It's another thing if we lose you. And she continued to try to stay away from her son, but in one of those moments, she heard her son talking to one of the nurses, and her son said this, why doesn't Mama kiss me anymore? And at that moment, it was too much, and Princess Alice's heart broke. And she embraced her son and kissed her son and held him so close. And Mama loves you so much. And it was really a very short time after that she contracted the same disease. And within a few days, they both died. And both were buried. And you think, why would a mom do that? Because they have to? Because it's their duty? No, it's because of the love of a mom. It's because of the love of a mom. Now, when you think about God, and you think about how much God loves you, people say, for the love of God. Yes, for the love of God, you need to understand that he cares about you enough to allow his son to die for you. He cares about you enough that his grace, it's not about your badness, it's about his goodness. And there's some pretty bad people. I mean, how deep really is his love? I don't know. Maybe in heaven you can ask David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. God's love was deeper than that. Paul, history records he also was a Christian killer, and would pull mamas out of their houses and have them put in chains because of Christ. He didn't find the end of God's love. It was deeper than that. Peter, the very one who said, I don't even know that man. Wouldn't you think that would be a little too much? It wasn't too much. And I could go on and on. They never hit the bottom of God's love. Here's what I want you to understand today. We're approaching Easter in 2 weeks. And the symbol of your faith is a terribly rotten way to kill people. And I said, God, why do you want to do that? He said, take a deeper look, Jim. It's not about the instrument, it's about the why behind that instrument. I put my son there so that you might have life. I put my son there so that your sins would be forgiven. I put my son there because times are going to be hard, and I want you to know that I did everything possibly that could have been done so you would trust me, that I could lift you up. You drink deeply from this on a daily basis, and it will absolutely change your life. You immerse yourself in the depths of God's love, and you will be changed. The next time you wear that nice little symbol around your neck, or the next time you're here and you look at that cross, I encourage you to take a little bit deeper look. I encourage you to realize that one of the most awful forms of torture in the ancient world is exactly where God put his son on purpose so that you and so that I could stand here today and be redeemed. Here's my last thought. I like this. It's deep enough to reach you, high enough to lift you up, long enough to provide the grace you need, and wide enough that you are absolutely included. I don't know where you are with God today, but at Hope Church, we want to help you grow in God. We can't do it for you, but we can sure help you get there. This is a great time for you to just look at you and say, where do I relate to that? Am I truly forgiven? Am I truly lifted up in spite of life's circumstances? Do I actually believe this is for me? Can God really forgive me for every single thing I've done? Let's pray together and then we'll be dismissed. God, so much emotion has gone through my mind and heart this week. The cross. It's overwhelming to me to think that is how much you love us. How much you love us, like a mama who would lay down her life at a moment's notice for their child. You're the God who created mankind and so much wanted a relationship with us and allowed your son to be murdered on our behalf in front of everybody. And God, we absolutely today want to say thank you. And if you've never received Jesus Christ, today is that day to have him forgive you of your sins. Today is that day, if you know you're not doing what he ought to do, to turn your back away from that and towards that cross. Today is that day to take another step of faith so you'll actually grow deeper and understand how much you're loved. This world will never provide you the self-worth that you're hoping to receive. Father, I pray for everyone who's come today. Oh, God, from the bottom of my heart, I pray that you'll bless them, God. You'll keep them. Your face will radiate upon them. God, you'll give them the peace of God that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. And God, send us from here. If a fireman's supposed to put out fires, if a warrior is supposed to protect their homeland, if If a parent is supposed to protect their kids, then a believer is supposed to believe and live in such a way that people will see our good works and bring glory to you. God, send us out today with purpose, that somebody else would come to know the grace that we have found in Jesus Christ. God, I pray for anyone who hasn't accepted you, that they would accept you. Lord, forgive us our sins. Come into our life. Become the CEO. Guide me and direct me. Lord, forgive me for knowing you and not walking with you like I should. God, forgive me for loving this world too much. God, help us, we pray, because of Jesus and what he did for us. Amen. God bless you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you Tuesday night on the ride or Wednesday night back here in church.